This morning for the message is going to be from Genesis, Genesis 11, verses 1 through 8. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, you're using the Bible behind the pew, it's on page 8. Okay, so it's Genesis 11, 1 through 8, or page 8 on the Bible that's in the back of the pew in front of you. Okay, you can follow along as I read Genesis 11, 1 through 8. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over all the face of the earth, and they left off building this city. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We can come here today. We thank you, as the song said, that we can lift your name on high. We thank you for who you are and who we worship as God and as Christ, who were both there at creation. And we worship Christ as a creator. We worship him as having no beginning, but is yet willing to come here for men and give up his life, that he would be on the cross for our sins and for what we have done. And as the song said, off the cross into the grave, but yet the grave couldn't hold him there, and he rose again. He did that for us, defeated death. But now he's lifted up, he's in heaven, and we come here today to continue to worship him and to teach he has done for us and the freedom that we can find in him. Lord, we thank you for the many, many things that you have done, all the material blessings, and for all your goodnesses to us that we have every day that we take for granted. We thank you for our health. We just pray that you would be with those that are among us, that their health isn't good, they're healing from surgeries or injuries or sicknesses. Just pray that you continue to heal people and to make them strong, that they can come out and they can be part of us. We think of the family that had the funeral here this last week, as Dave had a chance to present the gospel to a full church, full of people at the time of a funeral. We pray that you would help those words not to go on void, that they would be, that the words of your truths would be planted in their mind, and that they would be people that would continue to be drawn to you because of that. We think of the conference that's coming up this weekend as we look around our country and we see the many people that struggle with raising children. We see the many households that are really run by children, that revolves around their children. And we know that you have set forth a plan that works, a plan for families, and the principles work. We pray that this would be a time where we could teach these principles. We pray that it would be a time where people would come here and they would see that we do have hope, and that there is hope in your words, and there's wisdom in your words, that people would become parents that teach and raise their kids in a godly way. We think of our church, our budget, and our finances that we're struggling with. Lord, you know that where we're at, we know that you know where each and every one of us are, and we know the needs of this ministry. We just pray that you would continue to help people to give. Pray that you would continue to provide what we need for our daily expenses here, that we could go on and continue ministering to you in this country, and especially in our area, but yet around the world. As such, we're able to help the Kennedys that are here. Thank you for John's ministry and all that they do in Ghana. We thank you that we're able to have a part in that. We just pray that you would be with them in Ghana as their day is already over there or close to it. It's evening. But you just pray that you continue to be with their people as John and Dorcas are gone, that you would help their ministries to continue, and that you would give them safety as they're over here. Lord, I pray that you would be with John as he comes and he speaks, that you would give him words. I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds, and you would meet us here in spirit so that we can learn from what he has to teach us today. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Okay, this time I'd like to have John come up, and as you know, he presented his ministry in Sunday school and showed us some pictures and slides of what he has to do, and he's no stranger to us here as a church because we've supported him for quite a few years, and many of us have had the privilege to be in Ghana and work with his people and continue with their ministry. And I'd just like to welcome you here, John, and you can teach us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Again, it's good to be here this morning to interface with you again. 4 years ago, around this time, I think the Lord enabled us to come over to also present the ministry to you and also to share and fellowship him together along with you. So I'm glad to be back along with my wife. I think during the Sunday school, you saw what we are doing over there is as a result of your help in prayer and material support. So keep on praying with us. Our scriptural greetings from our people to you is seen in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul also greeted all the saints in Colossae and thank God for them in the name of the Father, telling them that he prayed for them always for 3 reasons. One, he heard that their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was strong. Their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was not shaky, was not some kind of a faith that they really, they rested in the Lord only. And that is what we hear and see you doing even through the worship this morning, and we praise him for that. Secondly, he said, and their love for all saints, not their love for saints in America, their love for saints all over the globe, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we see that because as a result of that, you are part of the ministry that we are doing in Ghana. We thank you for that also. And then the third reason why Paul would not forget about these people and always praying for them is because of their hope that is laid for them in heaven. They had hope of everything. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, neither ear heard what the Lord has prepared for us over there. And I believe it's because you are hopeful of those things that is the reason why you are serving him that way. So thank you very much, and I will bring you greetings from all of them, especially our son Josiah. He says hi to all of you, and thank you for receiving him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and as a result of what we are doing over there. Jenkins said, some of you already have been there a couple of times, and we hope to see you there again because we are laboring together. Things are changing and the churches are growing and everything like that. Few time before I came, about a month before we came, and as a church planter who is interested in developing the church, seeing that the church develops, I tried to do some studies about that. And this Genesis chapter 11, I had this preached somewhere, and a pastor told me, where on earth? I wouldn't have thought to have, maybe dive into it and to come up with this like that. But I do believe that the Lord, as teachers and preachers of the Word of God, as we study every day, He gives us His own Word in the light of what is happening in the society these days. So this morning, as we've read already, from Genesis chapter 11, the first 8 verses, I am going to share with you 4 key ingredients to develop a successful organization. 4 key ingredients to develop a successful organization. And the local church is an organized body, a living organism, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all over the world, we do not know them, but at least in this locality of Dansville and in the locality of Apam, Mumford, and several other places, He groups His people, organizes them to do His will for Him. And as we see over here, the children are the builders of the Tower of Babel. The Bible, if you go back to verse chapter 10, it tells you how they came up. I think out of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, Noah's children. And they were just moving up, and they came to a part where they saw a plain land, and they said, "Let us settle here. Just as you bought this property," and they said, "We want to serve the Lord here." And today you have a Grace Baptist Church of Dansville in this part of the universe. And so they said, "Come, as we read already, let us build ourselves a tower that its top will reach to heaven." Its top will reach to heaven. And they have an aim. It said, "And so that we can make a name for ourselves." Oh, we built something. We did something great. You know, they will make themselves a name. Otherwise, the Lord will scatter them. They didn't want to share with people. They didn't want to go out or whatever the case may be. But they said, "Let's do it and stay one place so that the Lord will not scatter us." And the Lord came down and saw what the children of men were doing. And because they were one in the body and everything, He said, "This thing they have determined to do, if we don't take care, they will succeed." And so the Lord scattered confused the speech, and "Bring me bucket." Then He goes to pick up a spoon. "What are you doing? Don't you understand me?" Then somebody who understands, "Oh, these guys, it looks like they are doing something." So this person picked this person, and all over. And here we are today with different languages and everything. This is unique. But you can see that that focus was good, and the fortitude, for that matter, was good, but they had a flaw in their life. Now, what do we do? This method could help you to organize even your business, your home, and whatever you do, if you will consider these 4 key ingredients. So, ingredient number 1, as we see over here this morning, is these guys were committed to the work. They were committed to work on a goal. They were committed to work on a goal. They had a goal. They had a purpose that it says, "Let us do it together." And they were committed in carrying on the purpose. As a local church, what are we committed to do? What is our goal? What is the purpose of the local church? The purpose of the local church is threefold: evangelization, or to evangelize, to edify one another, just as we are here this morning, edification, meditating on the Word of God, hearing from the Word of God, the gifts of pastors that He has given you, diving into the Word of God to encourage you, and glorification. That is the purpose of the local church. And beloved, are we focused on carrying on the goal of the local church? When it comes to evangelism, here, I don't know, But people think when pastor is called, then he alone can do the work. If the church does not grow, it is the pastor's problem. You remember 4 years ago, I think I remember preaching here. I don't know whether it was here or this church is one of those, but as I was going around, unction in the pulpit, then action in the pew. Was it here? I think I did. So my concern is always developing the local church. Okay, all of us have our part to play. Okay, so we have to evangelize, go speak the word of God, teach the word of God. Thank God, over the weekend, some people were here in the full house, and the presentation, the gospel had to be presented to them. That is part of what? Evangelism. Are we doing that? Or we just leave to pastors only, elders only, deacons? That is their job. And we sit back and talk. There are people in your business. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people at hospitals that you go to. You are always mute. You can't talk to them. But the Bible said, go ye therefore. We just sang a song this morning across the street and everywhere. The gospel is the same. In Ghana or in Africa, because of the weather condition over there, we go door to door, knocking doors and everything. That is, we are trying to act, to be committed to the goal of the local church, evangelism. Evangelism. So that is one thing that we should see and be focused to that. In Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 14 and 15, it says, how can they even hear the word of God unless we go there to what? Teach them the word of God. And that is evangelism. That is evangelism. They will not hear unless we go there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. So they were committed to the goal, to their goal. They said, let's do it. When you read verses 3 and 4, it says, and they said, one, let us move together and build the tower that is top. We read there. When the Lord was going back to glory, he said, go ye therefore and teach the word. The joy you have in your heart, go and share with other people as well. Some of us sit down. Our wives are not saved. Our children are not saved. And we say nothing to them. Maybe they won't hear. No. Speak to them. Preach to them. Tell them the gospel news. That is evangelism. We shouldn't leave it to only pastors or some few people in the church. Okay? All right. Then we see the second thing they did. Apart from being committed to work on the goal that is set before them, that let us do this. They also were united. We see unity among the people. Verses 1 and 6. Verse 1 says, and the whole earth was of what? One language and one speech. The third verse, and the Lord said, behold, these people are one. They were united. They were united. Are we united also in the local church? Even in our homes, sometimes we are not united. Husband and wife lie on the same bed, and one faces north and east and whatnot, and they don't talk to each other. Oh, that is not unity. The people should be one. We should be united. And as a local church, we should be united, as the Bible says. That was the secret of the early church's efficiency. When you read Acts chapter 2, it said, and they, verse 41, they that gladly received the word, like we have received the word, were baptized, and they were in one place, sharing the word of God. They shared things in common, they gave in common, and everything they did everything in common. They were united. So in verse 46, and it said, as a result of that, the Lord added to the church daily as it should. Are we united? The average church today People form cliques. I don't know whether it is like that here. This is my buddy. This is my friend. And this and that. We shouldn't do that. We should be united. Let's be one people. One judgment. Just before we came, my wife could bear me witness. A girl that we have respect for and was even one of the graduates. I mean, broke my heart. That is, I was counseling them, her and the husband who, you know, was picked from somewhere. And we had told them that, look, the Lord had given some of us some gifts of maybe sin. So bring them over and let's see whether, according to John chapter 14, the darkness should have nothing to do with what? With light. And light should have nothing to do with darkness and everything. It gives us about seven principles over there. So they brought this young man. She brought him so that I can counsel them into marriage. And I realized that he knows nothing about the Lord. He hasn't even been to church for the past. I don't know what got me to die to ask those questions. So, Pastor, for 2 years, I haven't gone to church. Of course, going to church does not really so signify your salvation in Christ Jesus. Of course. Christianity is not church membership. Christianity is not nationality. Christianity is not book knowledge. Christianity is spirituality. I tried to dive in there, and this guy is not saved. So I tried to show him the gospel. Open the Bible to him. Show him who Jesus is and what he came to do for us. If he would, you know, accept the Lord. And there was nothing like that. So I said, okay, then it will be difficult for me even to marry you like that. But well, I didn't even say that to them. But you know, she went about telling people this and that and everything. And some people in the church, instead of admonishing her, encouraging her, sympathized with her, we were not united. We never had the same judgment. And the pastor always becomes the bad guy. I tell people, as for me, for Christ's sake, I'll be the bad guy always. Yeah. He said, he that would walk righteously will face what? Persecution. That is it. But let us be united. Paul at one time told the children, he said, let's be united. Have the same mind and everything, and things will work well for you. So these people were committed to the goal that was set before them. Let's do it. And they were also united. If we keep the unity, the bond of unity that is set for us, like it says in Ephesians chapter 4, you will see that people will say, oh, these people are sweet. When you go there, they are like that. The way they greet everybody, this and that, and they will know that we are united people. We shouldn't form cliques. If these people had formed cliques, they wouldn't have even convinced God that they will be able to succeed. What can we do to convince God that we'll be able to succeed in our Christian life? We need unity, bond of peace. So they were committed to the goal. They were united as a people. And then the third ingredient is they had an effective communication system. Effective communication system, also 1 and 6 again. It said, the people had one speech and one language. Verse 6, even the Lord said, these people are one. And they all say the same thing. And the way they have one and the same speech, if we do not confuse the language, then they will succeed. But God wants the church to succeed. So we should be one. As for us, the Lord will never come to confuse our language or whatever. We should be one. Paul, In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 10, he saw that the church in Corinth was divided. Everybody said, I'm for this, I'm for that, I'm for this, I'm for that. Then again comes to disparity. Let us mind the same thing, have the same language, so that always the blow, the fault, will not be related to just one person or group of people or whatever the case may be. Let us have an effective communication system. In, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, we are told that let our speech be with season, be seasoned with salt, so that it will encourage the hearers. It shouldn't tickle their ears and just be like that. So if we keep on doing these things, I think all will go well. These people kept these three ingredients. They would have succeeded, but they had a flaw in their life, which in fact, as a local church, we do not want to. They were doing it for what? Popularity, not for in the will of God. They didn't do it in the will of God. God's will for mankind is what we see right now. And Jesus, before he went there, he went up to heaven. He said, go ye therefore, as we sang this morning, teach the people and baptize them in my name. This is what God expects of us. But these people, they said, for us, we want to make a name. I think we are not here to make a name for ourselves. As Grace Baptist Church, we are here to glorify God. That is what they failed to do. In other words, they didn't really understand the will of God. Are we doing the will of God? Are you doing the will of God in your own life? In Romans chapter 2 and verse 12, Romans 12 and verse 2, I think we see what God expects of us, that we should give our bodies a living sacrifice. And that is the only service that is pleasing to him. He tells us also in Ephesians 5 and verse 17 that you should be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you know what the will of the Lord is in your life? Have you understood the will of God in your life? Not just to join, to make a name, but join to glorify the Lord. Do we do that? Let me take you back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There we see what the will of the Lord is in a different angle over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. As you see that none render evil to evil, evil unto another man, but every man follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. This is the will of God. But come to verse 16, it said, rejoice evermore. Beloved, is there happiness in maybe seeing that things didn't go well for you? But God says, in everything we should what? Rejoice. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. Rejoice evermore. What is going wrong in your life? The only way we rejoice, oh, God is good, is when he answers our prayer. But if he does not answer your prayer, still take some joy in it, because he knows what is good to do for his children. The story is told of two young people who were traveling. They were going to catch a train. There were two bodies. And so they all took their bags, hung them around them, and they were going. And as one was running like that, he hit his leg against a stone. And there was blood even coming right there. Oh, I'm hurt. And his friend, instead of sympathizing with him, passed by him because he had to catch the train like that. He didn't mind. And before he crossed, the other one who passed by his friend, who got hurt, before he could cross the road, another car hit him. And when this man heard everybody wailing in the street, oh, who is that? Oh, what is happening? And everything. He went there jumping like that. And he saw his friend. Oh, my friend, you would have waited at least to see me. And maybe we would have survived this. You see, God knows what he does for his children. And then he rejoiced for the fact that even he hurt his toe. Do you rejoice in problems? Paul and Silas were caught in jail. They were put in chains for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for saying the truth about mankind, man's own goodness. And what happened? They set a jailer. He said, "You watch them so that he does not go. They do not run away." "Yes, sir." And then they started singing song, maybe "Rejoice Evermore" or whatever the case may be. And then the voice of the Lord joined them right there. And you know, God's voice is great, powerful. Then all the windows and doors opened. The guy perhaps was dozing a little bit on duty. So when he got up and the doors were open, he said, "Wow, I am done. I'm finished." There was a law that when a prisoner escapes in your hand, you have to face amputation. And so he drew his sword to finish himself before they put him to public ridicule, even before killing him also. And Paul went there. "Hey, my friend, we are here. You are here. You had this great opportunity of to have gone, but you never escaped. What kind of God are you serving?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Thou shalt be saved." That is joy in everything that you do. So rejoice evermore, and that is the will of God. Pray without ceasing. Do you pray? Some of us pray only at the dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner table. Some even don't pray at all. Some have to be reminded by their children, "Dad, have we prayed? Oh, let's go." Reminded. Pray without ceasing. Samuel says, "It will be sin for me if I do not pray even for other people." That's why the Lord said, pray without ceasing. Jesus was God and is God even now. But on earth, even he prayed. He found it necessary to, and he was giving us an example of how to connect with God. Talking to God. That's why he said, pray without ceasing. Then he said, in everything, give thanks. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks. For what? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the will of God in your life. Rejoice evermore. You have job. You've lost your job. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything what? Give thanks. Be thankful to people. A lot of us are unthankful. The only way we say God thank you is when things go well for us. But even if things go worse, still thank God. God has just some few reasons ways of answering prayer. God will answer your prayer instantly, or he will do it little by little, or he will even what? Refuse it. Because he knows if he gave you that car, you'll kill yourself in 2 days. So he will refuse to give you the car. And you will sit down there. I don't know what kind of God. He does it for everybody, but for me, he will not do it. No. Rejoice in it. Just understand him, because he is God. Let me tell you what the will of God is. The will of God, to me, I think, is nothing more. The will of God is nothing else, and the will of God is nothing less. Note it. The will, God's will, is nothing more or nothing else or nothing what? Less. God is always God. Are you trusting him in your dealings with him? Are you trusting him in the development of the church? By cooperating with everybody, that you will commit to the goal, edifying the body, encouraging everyone. The Lord has given each one of us some different gifts. So your area of the Lord's gift, you have to portray it and display it in the church. So that your friend, even I think that is why the Lord didn't make everybody a carpenter, everybody a masoner, a tailor, or seamstress, or whatever the case may be. Otherwise, where will we go? So everybody has his portion to play. The body is just one, but the eyes has its own work, mouth has its own work, tongue, even in the mouth, plays its part, the legs has its own function, the tummy gathers the food to make you strong. What about if one refuses? You'll be dead. Let's be united. Be focused on our goal. Have the same thing, effective communication system. But we should not do it for fame, for popularity. Otherwise, it won't be good for us. God enjoys people who do things fairly to his glory. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning or this afternoon for having brought us together.